Good morning. It is good to see you from this view. On Easter Sunday, we proclaim to you the great victory of Jesus' resurrection over death, the final enemy of mankind. And we showed you how to turn your tragedy into triumph. And the following Sundays, we have dealt with serious issues as how to turn your denial into reality, your offenses into forgiveness, and how to turn your failures into success. This morning, as I am wrapping up the series, The Wounded Heart, we are going to deal with another struggle in life, and that is the fear of rejection, and how we can turn rejection into acceptance. What is rejection? Rejection is a psychological condition characterized by the oversensitivity to any form of exclusion. And the fear of being rejected exists in all of us. This is a powerful fear. Psychologists show that if we don't learn to treat this fear of rejection in a healthy way, it will soon take over every part of our lives. If the toys could speak, they even hated being rejected in the Disney World movie, Toy Story. That's a big theme of that movie. Let's admit with me that rejection feels lousy. And nobody liked being excluded, amen? So the studies, they show that it is a serious implication for an individual's psychological state and for the whole society as well. Yes, rejection can influence your emotion, your cognition, and yes, rejection can hurt your physical health as well. In the study of 2003, a group of psychologists, they studied in 15 cases of school shooters, and they found that 13 out of 15 cases suffered from social rejection. The social scientists, they even dig deeper. They took picture of the brain that is suffer from social rejection, and they took picture from the brain of physical hurt. They put on the microscope and they analyzed. Surprising evidence shows that the pain of rejection and the pain of social and the pain of physical injury, they are not much different at all. Put simply, a broken heart and a broken arm is very much the same. Psychologists, they conclude something that we all know, and that is humans have a fundamental need to belong, to be accepted. Just as we have needs for food and water, we all have needs to be accepted, to have a good, lasting relationship. Do you have fear of rejection? I mean, children, old age, in every stage of life, we do have that. It's a part of life. When I first came to America at the age of 19, I did not speak English. So when I first landed in New Orleans, my first and immediate thought was, will I belong? Will I be accepted? If you have noticed, I even changed my name from Phuc Dang to Frank Dang just to make myself fit in. Easy to be accepted. So I thought of a few names. What would be my names in America? I thought of good names like Bob Roberts or Hugh Henderson. You know, did I say something funny? I mean, those are good names, but then I end up to pick Frank because Fook and Frank sounds cool. So this morning, can I be Frank with you? I had a plan. When I first came, I wanted to be like Bruce Lee. You know, the Hollywood, the famous Bruce Lee. Did you know that even Bruce Lee, he suffered from the fear of rejection? That's why he dedicated his kung fu to earn the Americans' acceptance, respect, and love. He ended up to marry an American wife as well for true love, though. But God had a better plan for Phuc Dang. For Frank Dang. He took me into a very small Baptist church in New Orleans, Louisiana. And then when the perfect love of Christ entered my heart, cast out all fear. Yeah. Well, look who is preaching to you this morning. I am accepted by His grace. And I know I'm loved by you too. Amen. That's a great strategy. Let's face this pain of rejection. Psychologists say that it has always a part of life. It might probably always be there. Brothers and sisters, I wonder if there is anything that could help us to set us free from the fear of rejection as well as any fear that we might have. Could you turn your Bible with me today? We're going to look at a few verses that really have the potential, if you're willing to set us free from the social rejection, self-rejection, as well as any rejection that you might have in your life. The Gospel of John chapter 20. We are going to make a survey on Jesus' resurrection, and we will learn how Jesus really set His disciples free from social rejection. Just to remind you that at this time right now, a small group of disciples, they are so broken. They are so rejected by the society and even by their own family members as well. And just to remind your knowledge that we are still in the last 40 days of Jesus' resurrection. It's not over yet. Because it seems like everything went back to normal after resurrection event. No, it's not over. No, we are still in the very important stage of the Easter spirit. And just to remind you, in the biblical knowledge, at this time, the group of disciples, they are so broken, they are hated, they are rejected, and they are brutally arrested by authorities. The temple authorities, the Roman governments, and even by their own families as well. So look with me in just one verse that you can capture the fear of the disciples at this moment right here. Gospel of John 20, verse 19. On that evening of the day, the first day of the week, the doors were being locked for the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Shalom, peace be with you. In this small verse right here, you can see that let the verse speak for itself. This right here, John, notice that he put down the one word, doors. It's not plural. It's not single. It's plural. It means that not just the front door, but the back door, the side door, every door that they can have, they can find in the house, shut down because of the fear of social rejection and every fear that they would face at this moment right now. And that is a great picture of their hearts as well. Their hearts totally shut down for fear, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, everything shut down. How could Jesus resurrect the faith of His disciples? What is the antidote that could set you free? What could be enough that set them free? If you study closely on the resurrection event, even the news of Jesus resurrected was not strong enough to bring them back. Even Mary in that garden, she heard the voice of her master. She could not realize because she was so broken, wounded. Remember the two friends on Emmaus Road? They walked side by side with Jesus, but they could not recognize Him. They were wounded. Not enough to help them to see. Even the 11, the apostles in that house locked it, Jesus appeared to them, and they thought He was a ghost. So what could be enough to set them free from any fear they might have? Mary, at that moment, she was called by Jesus. She was called by name, Mary. And she looked up and she really lost herself. And she threw herself to Jesus and she embraced Jesus. Yes, she held on to Jesus and did not let Him go. That was enough for Mary to turn her world upside down. Amen? And the two disciples, when Jesus walked into the home, broke bread with them and they saw something. This is their resurrected Lord. That's enough for them. A very personal resurrected Lord. He knew exactly how to set them free. Even the disciples. They were so scared. But He said that, don't worry.
Come and touch me for yourself. My hands and my side, it's for you, Thomas. And Thomas just broke down. My Lord and my God, you cannot be any more personal than Jesus did to his disciples. Amen? So the first point you see right here, that personal experience of Jesus' resurrection sets you free. Do you have that personal experience of Jesus Christ's resurrection? And that's what we need. So you see with me right here, that at that point right now, the disciples, they were no longer fearful of the society. In fact, instead of offenses, they bring forgiveness. They bring the fruit of the Spirit. They bring joy. They bring peace. They bring kindness into the broken society. That's all we need for this world. Amen? God, the creator of the universe, is a very relational God. You see that Jesus, before his crucifixion, he told his disciples that, I will meet you in Galilee. Why Galilee? Because it's a hometown of many, many disciples, Peter included. And talking about hometown, Jesus knew exactly your fear when you are alone at home. One of the hardest and toughest battles are the battles at home. Amen? When you are most broken, when you are most alone by yourself facing the enemy. And that's why Jesus, I will meet you in Galilee. I'll meet you at home. There was something that is very disturbing in the Gospel of Matthew when Matthew said, just right before he sent them out to the world and proclaimed the good news to the end of the earth, Matthew says something that is very disturbing for scholars and for all of us as well. That is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Let me just read to you. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Who doubted? Peter? Could be. Some other believers as well. They did not doubt Jesus because they saw Jesus. They were so glad. They gladly worshiped Jesus. Not Jesus that they doubt, but they doubt about themselves. Will I be able to follow him? Will I be strong? Will I carry my cross like he said? We all have doubt, because the word doubt right here is a very beautiful word, dystesian, which means it carries a sense of hesitation, uncertainty, indecision, because of a divided mind and a broken heart and a wounded heart that they saw and how they really fell short of God's glory. Peter is an example. How many times did Peter reject, deny Jesus? Three times. Things that he said, promises that he has broken, and how dare him could follow Jesus. Are you been there? Have you been there? That you look to yourself, you don't doubt the Lord, the resurrected Lord, but you doubt yourself. Have you been there? Question is, how did Jesus reinstate Peter's discipleship and his leadership? This is the very intimate conversation that you will find with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We'll look at just a few verses, chapter 21, verses 14 to 17, by just one verse, and you can capture this picture right here. And you know Peter's favorite number is number 3. I think he's allergic to number 3. Yeah, here we go. John 21, verse 14. I'll let you deal with number 16 and 17. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. If you read the whole chapter passage, you will see how the evangelist John framed this very special, intimate conversation that Jesus had with Peter and his disciples. This is right after breakfast. And then the setting is very, 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 very cool. Look at the setting right here. It is at the Galilee, the beach, the mountain. Can you feel the breeze of that beach right there? It's Jesus' office, by the way. It's always out there, okay? And why not Jerusalem but Galilee? Because at that time, Jerusalem was a fruitless city. with a doomed temple when they persecuted and they really executed Jesus. So Galilee is always a hometown of calling faith. It's where authority and healing powers taken place. So by calling them back to Galilee, he is renewing them, renewing their discipleship back to the beginning. Amen? They thought that it was over. Peter thought that it's going to be over, but it's not over. It's about to begin. Amen? And the conversation is very special. Today I'm going to just show you something that you will enjoy. We're going to study one word in Greek, and that is agape. You all have heard of that. How many times? Agape love. And then we learn something else too. Mathematics. Amen? We put Greek and math together. I know that that's your favorite subject. Mine too. Did I say something funny? No? Okay. So right here, I'm going to put Peter's, you know, faith on math graph because my background, I taught calculus for 1 year in college and high school 2 years. So I'm going to just illustrate Peter's emotion on the graph so you can see. So you can see for yourself, and then we will see how Jesus really restored Peter's rejection. That's a self-condemnation. Just to remind you that Judas and Peter did something very, very, very severely tough and heavy. Jesus was abandoned. He was denied by Peter, not just one time, not just two times, but how many times? So right here, if I could put right here the graph. Peter had a good start. He had a good start in Jesus', you know, followership. Peter, he was called that, whoa, flesh and blood cannot say what you just said. Remember, Jesus said that upon this rock, I will build my church. Even give him the keys as well. So he had a very good beginning right here. And then when he followed Jesus, he one time trying to stop Jesus from going to Jerusalem. No, Lord, I will not let you go. To the point that Jesus had to turn around and said, what? Satan, get away from me. Oh, he dropped down here, right? It's easy, right? Pastor Bob, come on, give me a break right here, Pastor. Okay, all right, so he dropped. And then what else? At the night of arrest, he said, Lord, I will die with you. Why couldn't I follow you? He went up a little bit. It's okay. And then Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me. How many times? Three. Oh, this is Jesus' prediction. He dropped, boom, down here. So if you put all this together, what do you have here? He got up and he down and up and down. But even worse, when he saw his master being arrested, he was so broken in the hours of crisis that he denied his master how many times? I mean, he went down, not just land on zero right here, but he went down how many degrees? Say the word, magic word, thank you. Down one, negative one. Down two, negative two. And down three, he stuck right there. How did Jesus solve this problem for Peter? He got stuck right here, and he got stuck. The word agape. Look with me, the word agape. Jesus used two times, Peter, do you love me? The best Peter could respond was, Lord, I love you. In a human relationship, he could not use the word agape because he got stuck right here. But just so you know, did you know how beautiful that word agape means? It's an unconditional love. The love that will set you free no matter what. It's a gift love given you regardless you receive it or not. It's unconditional love. Here we go. Do you know that Paul explained this word right here? You know how deep this agape love is? It is this deep. You know how high this agape love is? This is how high. The arrows tell you it goes to infinity. Amen? This is infinity right here. Now, welcome to the math world. You are acing it very well. Amen? You got my bait right there. You know, do you know how wide this love is? Oh, this is infinity. Thank you, brother. And you know how long this is? Magnificent, infinite. Put this in perspective. Look right here, if I may. Look right here. This is the infinite grace of God. Start from right here. It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. If I have a longer arm, it keeps going. Do with me. It keeps going like this. I mean, that is the infinite grace of God that set Peter free. The agape love restores the philia love. Peter, you are made extremely over again. So are we. If Peter could do it, we could do it too. Brothers and sisters, the whole series, Wounded Heart, Pastor Bob and the team wanted you to really go home with a healed heart. So I'm going to conclude the last point, which is the whole series foundation. A healed heart will unleash your potential. Your home will be a happy place when your heart is healed. The question is, Brother Frank, how can I experience a sense of resurrection? Well, the text says very clearly, a broken and a contrite spirit the Lord will never despise. Are you willing to offer your sacrifice, which is your broken and contrite spirit? That's the question. 12 years ago, I was in my first semester in seminary. At that night, I was studying a biblical background chapter ready for the quiz tomorrow, but I could not study. I could not swallow that small chapter for the quiz because my heart was so heavy. For some reason, I got attacked, and all the junks from my childhood, from my past, just came back and haunted me. I stand condemned, unclean. I felt that, how dare you pick up this Bible, this holy Bible, and preach from this Bible? How dare you? Are you not ashamed of yourself? You cheated. You lied it. You even cursed too. How dare you could preach from this holy book? I got really condemned with a self-rejection. I could not dig myself out. I did not know what to do. I just took out two sheets of paper, the two yellow papers, and I just wrote down everything that I could remember from one sin to another, from childhood to that time. I was so broken. Lord, help me. What could save a wretch like me? I went into my bedroom, and I woke my wife up and said, honey, please, I want to confess my sins with you. You know some, but some others you don't know. I gave it all, and I said, hold me accountable. It was a long list. Together in one heart, we offered our broken heart to the Lord. And during those days, I just asked, Lord, can I have a sense of your presence? Please say something. I know by faith you are there. I know, but Lord, speak to me. I am desperate. First week, second week, nothing happened. The third week, I went into a very deep sleep. Suddenly, in my mind, there was a 3D vision open. I saw a great river. I was brought up in the third floor of a very tall building. I don't know why third floor, but it's up there. It was at night. I saw a beautiful river and the man walking, sliding on water. And my first immediate thought was, who could walk on water? I remember I yelled in my mind, Jesus! And here is the experience, brothers and sisters. The moment that the man ascended closer to me, the same thing, I felt so unclean. Unclean lip, unclean heart, unclean, just every junk's come out of me. I just could not stand. But the other part of me said, stay, stay, don't go, don't go. And when the man ascended close to me, he gave me a hug. I felt the physical hug. It's like Jacob wrestled with that man in the night. And then I looked up, I saw him being crucified on the cross. So I said, oh, Lord, oh, if only I knew. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I've made. And when life is all about you, he gave me the look just like he gave Peter the look with acceptance. He ascended, and I woke up, tears just all over my face. I woke up. I said, Lord, thank you. My prayers have been heard. Thank you, Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, he promised that he will meet you from your home. Would you make that divine appointment to meet him? Offer him your broken heart, your contrite spirit, and be specific. He will meet you from your home. Just like Peter. Peter knew exactly what wounded him. Do you know the battles that you are fighting? Do you know what caused your woundedness? And write them down and bring it to him. He is the infinite love. In his presence of infinite grace, your sins are no more. That's why he said, how high from the sky to the heaven, it's how high his love is for you. If how wide from north to west, north to south and east to west, it's your sins will be taken away. No more. There is no more condemnation. There is nothing that could separate us from the love of God. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, please.